I'll greet you this morning with the words that John wrote in 2 John, verse 3 and 4. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, full of truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of my children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And then this phrase does not just stay to our children. It goes to all children of God and all of you that are gathered in this house. And I praise and honor the Lord God through Jesus Christ. And with this in mind, let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this house of thine to worship our great God, who is present over all and yet small enough to live within our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the people that have gathered this morning in this place and in other places where your word is preached. We thank you for all that have come. We pray also for those that lead us in singing and playing the instruments. We also pray for the congregation that your spirit will not just lead me, but be in every person present, that your spirit will come down upon us today as we worship. Lord, your name be honored and glorified, and we wait for your appearance as you will come and gather your church. Take home the bride to be with you forever. Lord, we also pray for the government, the federal government and the provincial government, and also every local government. We pray that you will grant to each individual the knowledge of the truth, that your will be sought and done. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this time that you have granted to us. We thank you, Lord God, for faith in Jesus Christ, but most of all, we thank you for salvation through the things that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. When he called out and said, "It is finished." Lord Jesus, with this in mind, we put our trust in you as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stick our red book and turn to number 273. Stand up for Jesus. 273.
Show. 253. What a friend we have in Jesus. 353.
Thank you for that singing. What my intentions are today, I'm planning to speak on the rapture. The rapture was, so to say, a hidden thing years ago. But now, as we are living in the last time of the last times, it's getting revealed more and more all the time. The first part of it may be, to some of us, a little bit discouraging. But for the children of God, we look forward for the coming of Jesus Christ. We find that this world is placed in three different times. That is from the creation until the return of Jesus Christ for the rapture. Although the word rapture is not found in the Bible, and yet it is still found there, the word rapture didn't make it into the English Bible, but it is there in many other translations. And the word rapture means cut up. The same meaning, rapture and cut up. I'll say a little bit more about that. When Jesus will come back to pick up his bride, the first part was from creation till the great flood, when this world was so wild and so restless. We'll hear about that later. And the second part is from the great flood till the time of Jesus Christ that he was on the earth. That's the second part. And the last part is from Jesus till he will come back again to pick up his church, his bride. John, the evangelist, writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse. 1 John chapter, he says, little children, It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This was shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven. John said all that already, little children. Why did he call that little the people little children? Because they were little in faith. This was a new teaching that Jesus brought, not the old teaching of the old covenant, but this was, Jesus taught us the new covenant through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And that's why he calls them little children. And now, this is 2,024 years after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And we are still, to the apostles, Jesus said, it is not up to you to know the day or the season. But now we see very clear the season, that we are in the season where the harvest is going to be shortly presented to us. What time are we in? We are in the last time of the last time. Jesus will soon come and clear up, make clean house, and take his children away from here, produced on the oceans, and make landfall. That the cities that are close to the sea, the streets that are usually occupied by cars and trucks and other vehicles, are often used by boats. The hurricanes cause flood in the cities and in other places. And at the same time, there is drought at other places. Then there are tornadoes. There are earthquakes. There are tsunamis. Tsunami is an earthquake under the ocean. And the Bible tells us that in the end time, knowledge shall increase. When we were children or when we were young, we never knew about something like abortion. At least I didn't. Or transgender, or same-sex marriage. All these things come about because increase of knowledge. How is it possible to make a boy of a girl or a girl of a boy? They do that, they claim to do that. But what do? They do nothing but ruin the creation of God. Same thing with abortion. Thou shalt not kill. They kill the little babies left and right before they're born. They will be their judge on yonder days when the Bible says your children shall be your judges. Those are the ones that will stand. And if they're killed, they will find themselves in heaven. God is speaking to us. God is calling the people to repentance. Some do, others don't. Some do, others don't. But we know that the time is short. Already during the time when Jesus was on earth, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, these are the very words of Jesus. He spoke to the people of Israel, to the children of Israel, which are the offsprings of Jacob. There's a difference in the Israelites and the Jews. The Israelites are offsprings of Jacob, whose name was translated to Israel by the Lord. The Jews are the offsprings of Judah. So not all Israelites are Jews, but there are some of both. But this is what Jesus says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. Do we suppose that this is only spoken to the Israelites? It was mentioned, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who were the people of God. But is this message of Jesus Christ not also extended to us, who have become children of God through repentance and are grafted into the family of God? Let us take this seriously. The word of God is being violated in so many areas, not only in the worldly people, but also in the churches. There are some churches that allow a lot of people to serve in the church, which the Bible denounces. For example, gays and lesbians, same-sex marriage. Some churches open the doors for that. But the Church of Jesus Christ does not allow that, because that is against the teachings of God, against the teachings of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we know that the word of God is being. But let us not fear, for we read in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then redemption draweth nigh. Here is the encouragement. We see all these things happen. Let us cleave to the truth of God's word and be careful that we don't fall away from the truth as some do. But look up, rather, for your redemption. As I mentioned already, the word rapture means cut up. And this word did not, the word rapture did not make it into the English translation. And yet it is in many of the other translations. In the Greek language, in the Greek Bible, it's called harpazo. In the Latin Bible, it's called raptura. In Spanish, it's also called raptura, meaning rapture. The same thing as being cut up. Philip baptized Eunuch of Ethiopia. And after that was finished, Philip was raptured. He was cut up, and the eunuch didn't see him anymore. He was taken away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 4, Paul knew a man. He didn't know at that time who he was, but he was cut up. He was taken up. It could be no one else but Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is our text passage, we also find the word 5. There was a man-child. He was cut up, and he was lifted up. And it refers to no one else but Jesus Christ. This man-child was stood against as soon as he was born. King Herod sought to do away with him. Ever since, the war has been going on against the Christians, because Christ was the Son of God. He taught us the way, the truth, and the life. Enoch was raptured. He was cut up and he wasn't seen anymore. Elijah was cut up and he went to heaven in a chariot, in a cloud. Jesus was cut up and left this earth and were taken to heaven. And because Jesus is taken to heaven, so is there an opportunity for us as well if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rapture will take place to escape the tribulation period and the wrath of God. As text words for this part, I have chosen from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's called the sudden coming of the Lord. It will be sudden, that much of time, quick. And here it says, the Apostle Paul writes this to the Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. It uses the word brethren. It doesn't say brothers. It says brethren, male or female believers, and members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Then he says, concerning them which are asleep, which have died. When Jesus approached Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus had died, he told them he is sleeping. And here it talks about sleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We have this living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because he said that he would rise the third day, and he did. He did just as he said. We have that living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a hope as we say, I hope we don't get a storm today. By the time this day is over, that hope is sunk into history. But the living hope is a different hope. It keeps on going and going and going until we finally end up at the right hand of God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This talks about the ones that have passed away. As a believing child of God that has repented from his or her sins and invited Jesus to be their shepherd for their spiritual walk of life. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not by the word of the apostles, remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We shall not get ahead of them, as we will see further in this passage. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here we see, we will not be first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive, it only refers again to those that are born again, to those that surrender their will and their life and their walk to the will of God in an absolute way. Those are the ones that take the advantage of this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be cut up together with them, cut up, raptured, cut up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When we think of the fact, what this is saying to us, what this is telling to us, we find comfort and courage to go on, to walk after the instructions of the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 to 9, or I should say verse 9 to 11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, not to wrath, but to salvation. Verse 10, it reads, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. From the wrath to come. Interesting. These are biblical passages. These are the truth of God's word. Then I read verse 10 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him and edify one another, even as also ye do. There's nothing to fear about that. The Lord has given us enough instructions in his precious words that we shall be able to walk on a narrow pathway of life. The world is trying to tell us there are many roads that lead to the same place. That is the devil's lie. It is not truth. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. There is only one way that leads to God. But there is another way. The other way is the broad way that has sufficient room for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. All for smokes, for adultery, for idolatry, for everything that you can think of, there is sufficient room on that broad way. But that broad way leads to hellfire for all eternity. But the narrow road does not have room for all that. But it is the narrow road that leads to everlasting joy and that leads to God. For Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me, by Jesus Christ only. We continue. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And for this we look to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would like to read the verses 50 to 54. Now this I say, brethren, again, it talks about male and female. It says, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When we are shallow in our faith, we think of this body. Behold, I show you a mystery, he says. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. Even though the scripture tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. Except we are alive and we are born again children of God when Jesus comes for the rapture. Here it says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this change is going to take place. Mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up by victory. Death is swallowed up by victory. And that is the time, that is what I am waiting for, when Jesus will come to take home his children. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11,28-30, here Jesus is calling. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Through Jesus Christ, we will find that rest, which is nowhere else to be found. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus carried the burden for us on the cross of Golgotha. He paid the price, and it was finished. He purchased the bride by what he did at Golgotha. Lord, hear all humble prayers and be merciful to one and all.
Stick our blue book and turn to number 144. Only trust him. 144, let's all stand.
How true it is, if we trust the Lord Jesus, he will save us. He will. We talk about the rapture today. A lot of people, they make themselves a lot of worries. When will the rapture take place? I don't know. Except for I know it will take place in the future. It could take place any day. It could take place today. It could take place before the tribulation period, which is 7 years. It could take place in the middle of the tribulation period, but no later than that. No later than that. I believe, if I understand it right, it will take place before the tribulation period, but we'll leave that up to God. We leave that up to God, whatever he wants. The image of the heavenly body. How is this going to be taking place? We don't know how, but God knows. It is very important that we know the God that knows everything. I remember what Bishop Friesen often said. I don't know. I haven't been there, he said, but I plan to be there. So it is with us as well. We haven't been experiencing that, but we plan to experience. We plan to experience that. The following Bible verses will give us clarification about that. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, that's how it shall be in the days before the coming of the Son of Man. Violence and corruption filled the earth, according to Genesis chapter 6. What I'm going to read now is from the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 24 to 36. It starts off like this in verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven and shineth unto the other part. Let's say it is evening and there's a great thunder shower in the village of Plum Coulee. We can see the lightning. When the lightning bolts hit the ground and it shines here as well. But you don't hear the thunder right away. It comes a little later. But that's how quick, as the lightning, that's how quick the coming of the Son of Man will be. And remember, this will take place at the same time around the globe. Then Jesus talks about, when Jesus says this, this was before he was crucified. He said, but first must he suffer, this is he, Jesus, many things, and be rejected of this generation present at that time. Is of the Son of Man. We know what happened when Noah was commanded by God to build the ark. It had never been rained. People mocked him. What do you think anyway? There has never been any rain. Until that time, only a hefty dew moistened the ground. But we see that the righteous people, the ones that believed in God, that was Noah and his three sons, and the animals that were to survive the great flood, they were secured in the ark before the rain came. They were put to safety before the danger appeared. But then he continued to say, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and took them all away. The earth was filled with violence. And what do we see now when we look into the world? How much violence is going on? Oh, I remember when I grew up, how I worried about that. I said to myself, and I remember a discussion with my dad about this. How can it be? It is impossible. Right will be right and wrong will be wrong. But now we see it's all twisted around. Whatever is right is called wrong, and what is wrong is called right. They make ungodly laws, and if you trespass that law, you could be incarcerated. You could be guilty of the law even by not doing anything wrong. But they call that violation against their law. But why was Jesus arrested and killed? And most of the apostles as well, except for John, against man-made rules, not against the word of God. I was going to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, first of all. Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. That's what God said. That's what God saw in the human race, made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That to protect those that found grace in the eyes of God. In the same chapter, verse 11 to 13, we read this. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth and beheld it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is what God is saying. It repented him that he had made the birds, the creeping things, the worms, the spiders, the mosquitoes, the animals, domestic animals and wild animals, all the people except for what was in the Ark of Noah. And God shut the door. And when you look at the picture, and the water came and lifted up the Ark, the door was under water. No one was able to get out or in. Then I continue in Luke, in Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they builded. Here are a few things that are very evident in our day of age. About 2.5 years ago, we had bought a different place to, like a different dwelling place for ourselves. because we found out it was time to size down a little bit. My hip was so bad I couldn't do anything anymore. And for Mary, my wife, it was too much to do everything. So we bought a different place. And our family did something to our house that they figured was needed. I had the realtor. And it was on a Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when the for sale sign came up. That same evening, lookers came to look at it. And the next day, we got informed that they wanted to buy it. That's how quick. This is just one of the examples. But there were many of those kinds that took place in that time. And the construction is going on. We have some family members that are involved in a construction business. They can't look, you look and in every, just about every town, you see additions and additions and additions. Construction is going on, apartment buildings and housings, and they can't keep up. Here it says they were built. They planted, but they didn't reap. Abraham was pleading with the angel to save the cities, but there were not even found five righteous people in the city of Sodom. Then the angel said to Lot, get thee out and your family. And said, 25% of those turned back and looked back at the city of Sodom and became a pillar of salt. The Bible said, back, and she did. And then God sent a fire upon the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding villages. And the field and everything burned up. That's why there was nothing to reap. Everything was burnt by the fire of God. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. But here again we see in Genesis 19 is that story written. I'm not going to read it. But that's where it is written. Lot and his family were taken out of the city of Sodom before destruction took place. Lot and his family was taken out before the flood came and put to safety before the flood came. And Lot and his family were taken out of Sodom before the fire came. That gives us an indication that when the rapture will come, the born-again children of God will be taken out from here before the tribulation. I continue reading. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed, when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back, because it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. There will be no time left. Furthermore, to remember, he says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This refers to selfish way of life. We need to let go of that and trust in the Lord. I tell you, in that night, remember in verse 31, it talked about that day. Verse 34, it talks about that night. The reason for that is, as I said already before, it will take place the same time around the globe. And when it is daytime here, it is night on the other side of the globe. Or when it is night here, it is that night. There shall be two persons in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. The one that is ready will be taken that side of the bed will remain empty. The one that is not ready will stay there. Two women shall be grinding in the mill together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Again, the woman that is ready will be taken. The other one that is not ready will be left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. The ones that are ready will be taken. The ones that depend on their own selfish way of things will be left behind, will stay back. Those that depend on Jesus will go ahead. There's another thing I would like to look at, which is found in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew, these are again the very words of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." These could be 10 people out of the sanctuary of worship. It doesn't say here, but it could have been. These were all virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom to come, all 10 of them. But 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish were religious, traditionalists, but they didn't have wise. They had filled their life and they had invited Jesus to be their shepherd and to control their walk of lives. And read the Bible and studied the Bible and lived by the Bible. Where on the other hand, the foolish had failed, had fallen short on this. They had not done it. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Of course, I believe these lamps, they probably looked all the same. But some of them were empty, as also their hearts were empty. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." There was no light. They had the lamps, but no light. Like a bulb, if it isn't connected to any electricity, it's a bulb, but it's not a light. It doesn't throw off light. So is a Christian or a so-called Christian that is nothing but religious and empty on the outside. It has no spiritual light. It is empty. But the wise answered, saying unto them, "Not so, lest there is not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell." If you don't have oil in your lamp, or if your body or your soul and your heart is empty, go to the source where the spiritual oil is found, to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ himself. Go to that place rather than trying to get it when the bridegroom is here, because there will be no time then, as we will see. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. As God shut the door of the ark, so was this door shut after those went in that were ready. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. But then he turns to us and says, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know the season that we are living in. We are living in the last time of the last time. Friends, get ready if you are not ready yet. Chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and we can see that all around. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Do we gather what this means? This refers to the praying children of God that are filled with the Spirit of God. I add to this from the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. All these verses, they give us a clue that the children of God may be taken away before the tribulation period. He shall enter into peace. What a thing to look forward to, we find in the precious word of God. Then I read verse 8 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Did we just realize the verses that we read? Then after that shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wonderful encouragement we find here. But there are other verses that of protection that we find in the Word of God. Verse 10 and 11. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Here we find that he will protect us. Behold, I come quickly, he says, as we read before, in the twinkling of an eye. Hold that which fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the same chapter, verse 20 to 22. These are the, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, here are two things. If we hear the voice of Jesus and open the door of our hearts, he says, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. How are we able to overcome? To trust the Lord. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is it important that we listen? Yes, it is. It is important that we hear what the Spirit. In In the book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man. God the Father has sent his Son Jesus to earth to purchase the bride, the church, the born again, repented people are the church of Jesus Christ, the bride. By his suffering and death of the cross, he has purchased his bride. Until he finally cried out and said, "It is finished." God the Father was satisfied and pleased with it. Jesus died and was laid in a sepulcher. He was dead. He arose victoriously and with great power on the third day. And hereafter he spoke with his apostles for 40 days about the kingdom of heaven. Then he went back to his Father's house. Now I read John chapter 14. This is an encouragement that we have. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This happens when a child of God is passing away. Jesus takes the soul. It will also happen in a larger scale when he comes for the rapture. Then he says, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way we know, ye know." We who know the word of God, we know this. But he was shallow in his understanding. But Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way to God. But this brings about peace. In verse 27, Jesus saith, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Therefore, peace may rule our hearts." And from there, we go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Here Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good and everything." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not, dear little flock. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 15, verse 11 to 15. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee, nor the time of his return. The Father has kept this knowledge for himself. But at the right time, when the time is fulfilled, Father God will send his Son Jesus to get his bride. That's when the rapture will take place. Remember our text passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. But in 1 John chapter 4, and verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that liveth in you, he that is in you, than he that is in the world." It's talking about the Spirit. Greater is the Spirit of God that dwells in the children of God than the Spirit that lives. While on earth, the tribulation period is taking place and the wrath of God being poured out, the praying children of God are to be removed from the earth before the enemy can practice full power. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you today for this congregation. And we pray that you will grant the increase upon the spoken words. We pray that one and all may be encouraged to walk on the narrow pathway of life through Jesus Christ and his strength and power. Lord, we ask that you will protect us in the time to come, and that you will be with us all as we continue life's journey. And at the end of our life, we ask that you will receive our souls, take our souls to glory land, where we are able to spend eternity at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus with thankful hearts. Amen. And with this in mind, let us kneel for Lord, hear humble prayers and shed your powerful blessings upon the spoken words.
From the Blue Book, number 310, The Solid Rock. Number 310. Only leave.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother John, for that wonderful message. Just a few announcements. This coming Saturday, it's men's breakfast. So that's at Meadows Grill in Plum Coulee. All men, young and old, are welcome. And that starts at 7 a.m. 9 a.m. Boy, George would have had gotten up real early that morning. Sorry, that's 9 a.m., not 7 a.m. Still looking for someone to help out in the sound booth. So anybody interested, you can contact Marcus Clausen, and his number is here in the bulletin. And also, we're still looking for some Sunday school teachers. It's the oldest class in Sunday school. We still would like another teacher there. So if anybody's interested. And we're also looking for someone to help with Dawson. The Sunday school is also looking for a helper for Dawson. He's a special needs child who requires one-on-one attention. And some of you will have probably seen him and heard him. He loves to sing, so you've probably heard him when he's sitting up front here and singing away. And he needs someone to help him in Sunday school. So if anybody's interested, you can contact Henry Cron or Peter Martins. Those are the superintendents in Sunday school. And I also have some prayer requests here that I will just read as written. Please pray for God's healing power and strength and peace. Thank you. And then there's, please pray for Deb Giesbrecht, who is dealing with more pain and health issues, believing that God is the healer, and to him be the glory, to him be glory, may he be glorified. Thank you. And then we have the family of Miss Anna Dick, condolences on the passing of their mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. She is the mother to Henry and Agatha Friesen and family, and grandmother to Samuel and Samantha Fast and family of our church. Please continue to pray for the prayers and condolences on the passing of Sharon's dad, Walter Hamm. Thank you for keeping them in your prayers. Yes, let's keep everybody up in our prayers. Thank you.
I would also like to say that we had a nephew buried, and the funeral was in this church a little while ago in December, I think. It was our nephew from both sides, Henry Clausen. And a few weeks ago, we buried my oldest sister, Tina Schrader from Steinbeck. And this Friday, we buried Mary's oldest sister, my wife's oldest sister. So there has been people taken out of our midst lately. Or actually, we should say, we know that they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and therefore we don't worry about it. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace both now and in the time to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.